like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Murrow Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Here.
Jones?
Here.
Torres?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Connery?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
First up, we have a proclamation for our municipal attorney, who just told us that her last day at work is going to be Friday. So this is the last time we will see Ms. Copen gracing our halls. We have a proclamation in recognition of Judith Copen Esquire, municipal attorney. Whereas the Borough of Washington governing body would like to recognize Judith Copen for her honorable service to the Borough of Washington as municipal attorney, and whereas Judith Copen has demonstrated excellence in the field of public sector law and has contributed time and effort to advance the interests of municipal law, and whereas Judith Copen will be remembered by the Borough of Washington for her willingness to help others, commitment to local government, and dedication to Washington Borough, and whereas the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington desire to express appreciation of the governing body to Judith Copen for her years of service to the Borough of Washington, now therefore be it proclaimed by Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington in the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that the appreciation of the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington are hereby expressed for the years of service performed by Judith Copen. Be it further proclaimed that this proclamation be duly embossed, signed by the Mayor, publicly presented to Judith Copen on June 17, 2014, and recorded in the official records of the Borough of Washington as a tribute to Judith Copen by an appreciative and thankful governing body.
Thank you all, and let me just shake your hands. It has been a pleasure to work with all of you and with the citizens of the borough, and I know I leave you in good hands with Leslie Parikh and Dick Cushing of my office. And thank you again.
Do we have to accept her papers? If we don't, she's still not coming back.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Dick.
So as I was saying to her earlier, by the end of next week, she's probably going to want to come back.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, next we have the minutes of the regular meeting of April 1st.
So moved.
Second. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we do not have Andrew Ward yet?
No.
Okay. In that case, we're at the council appearance. We'll start off with Rolling Thunder, New Jersey, Chapter 3.
Good evening. Thank you for the invitation today. We want to kind of tell you...
If I may interrupt you, would you just give your name and address for the record, please?
Diane Malanga, Chapter Secretary, Rolling Thunder, Chapter 3, New Jersey, 617 Mansfield Street, Belvedere, New Jersey.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. we have a new program. You guys are the first ones that we're approaching. But what we want to do is honor hometown heroes, those killed in action, and those who have been held prisoner of war, who have yet to return. So other chapters have done it in other states, and we would like to copy it. And we're coming to you pretty much with a letter. Where's the mask? Is he here? You are the mask.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Thank you for the invitation again. But on behalf of Rolling Thunder Chapter 3 New Jersey and its members, we respectfully request to honor our fallen soldiers, our prisoner of war, with a campaign to name streets where they were raised, established residence, or went to school. We feel that honoring their service members for their service should be memorialized, and what better way in their hometown. We are coming to you today to seek permission to locate members within your borough that have paid the ultimate sacrifice with their service to our country. Once they are found and establish a relationship with their families of the fallen or the POW, we will present the information to you, with your permission and the board, to carry forward to honor and naming the street. We feel that honoring them within their hometown is a small token of appreciation to their ultimate sacrifice, and also letting their family know that their sacrifice will never be forgotten, not by us. So what it is the we create the street sign. Mm-hmm. There's no cost to the town whatsoever. Rolling Thunder will accrue all
the costs.
There's nothing that you have to pay for. We just seek permission to carry forward. So this way, you know, it's in your town. I do have copies of what has been done in the past, and there's two ways. The street sign would either be above the street name. Doesn't change the 911 system at all.
It's just an honorary.
It's just an honorary street sign.
In addition to whatever.
Right. It doesn't change the latitude, longitude, anything.
Got it.
Or is a freestanding pole, just like the DPW.
Okay.
It's not a heck of a lot of money when it comes down to they paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the a town resolution, I would guess, would have to be passed to name it.
Is that how it's been done in other states?
That's exactly how it's done in
okay.
other states. And again, no cost to the town. And the town would have the option, and along with the family, to place the street sign or the pole. It depends on how you guys want to prefer to do it. The designs are Department of Transportation approved in accordance with in every state across the country. The signs are reflective and 8 millimeter thick. And with the sample, it is a 30 by 12. They are white with black lettering and the purple heart above it. And of course, I'm not sure if we have two veterans here. You know what the purple heart is.
My brother is a recipient of it.
And thank you for his service as well. Okay, so this packet is for you, Mayor, and you know, if you guys want to talk about it amongst yourselves, we would love for you to consider this, and I will move forward with locating members, speaking to a council member this evening. His uncle was killed in war in 1968, and I would love to at least start with him.
Any reason why anybody wouldn't be honored to have this done. I'm sure council would like to ask a question or two on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd be happy to accept that, and I'm sure we would encourage you to move forward. But Rob, I see you had your hand up first.
I think it's a great idea, and I think it's wonderful, you know, to put a sign like that. I was wondering if you already have assembled a list of some of the wounded
right now,
killed in our community.
I have a list of people who have been killed in war from Iraq to present. We were trying to start with, you know, current, because unfortunately, you know, Vietnam, World War II, World War I is so long ago. We have to ask the family's permission. There's no way we can just go and name a street sign,
right.
Have, you know, them honored without the family knowing. Without a doubt, some families will say, you know, I don't want this, and we would respect
yeah.
that.
Of course.
But of course, coming to you to start the campaign, with your permission, I would move forward to fund the families. I did find somebody in Blairstown.
Yes. So, in some of these other states where they have it, does the family come out too?
They do.
Once
they find the soldier, what they do is they have a small ceremony at the street location. Some have like bagpipes and the local Boy Scouts and even Honor Guard, VFWs. We'll try to get as many veteran organizations involved. It used to be done a long time ago. Unfortunately, it kind of died down. But we want to continue the momentum and continue to honor and keep everybody apprised that that ultimate sacrifice is just never to be forgotten.
Just one quick question. Do you determine the street or what would you, or
the family would, choose. If they were raised on Belvedere Road, let them choose where, you know, where it would be within your borough. I am in the process of talking to the family of the young man, 19, who was killed in action. And unfortunately, that was a sad story. Both his parents passed away, too. So it's only his sister. So
in the event that there were two people on the same road, how would that be?
Well, if they have two different street signs, you know, maybe a small street. And fortunately,
a block.
From Iraq to today, to current, there's nobody in the borough, which... That's awesome.
Yes.
There were a lot of people that went, but they returned, you know, which is good.
Right.
That's a good thing.
So, mm-hmm. But, you know, we can probably broaden it. I mean, if we cannot locate anybody and continue, the pride of your hometown hero, I don't see why not having somebody name their street.
I'm just concerned that, two people, I don't want to see a fight between two families.
No, you know what?
I would think it won't happen.
Probably would be closer to where they live.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know.
The street
is the same. Two people in the same block on the same street, I'm sure, are very low.
Well, no, I think in Phillipsburg there was brothers, I think, if I'm trying to correct it. I think there was brothers that were killed. Yeah, three brothers that lived in Phillipsburg were killed in action in Vietnam. So, and I think one is still a prisoner of war. He's unaccounted for. So, but we certainly would be open to the idea of honoring even a Purple Heart recipient, a Medal of Honor recipient.
Of
right now, we're gearing towards the ultimate sacrifice. So,
Judy, do you have any comments from a legal standpoint that we might need to deal with on this?
No, I think as long as was indicated at the time that there would actually be. The naming and the sign, you would obviously need a resolution. But as long as the signs are DOT approved and
the permission of the
of the family, I don't think that it should be an issue.
Okay.
We need a motion to go forward with this.
Do we need that?
Do we?
Let's make the motion just to be safe.
Make the motion. Right, go ahead and proceed.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain.
Sure. And thank you very much for considering the motion tomorrow for this.
We had approached the DID, and
I remember I was there for that.
And I think we were kind of singing to the choir. We were talking to a committee.
Well, you're kind of singing to the choir here today, too, I think.
I think so, too.
But that's the best place to sing, right?
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I understand our new park director is here, Andrew Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Come on forward and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Right.
So we can welcome you properly.
All right. Well, hi, I'm Andrew Ward. I'll be the new Parks Recreation Director. I'm really excited about doing it. I've been majoring in Recreation Services Management in college, so I had some experience in some internships. I worked with a nature center out in York County. I also worked with the York County YMCA for a while. So some pretty big facilities, some nice stuff. Had a lot of experience with customer service, managing personnel. So I'm really excited to do it. I've been working at the pool for, I think this is my sixth season down there. Started lifeguarding, was a manager, and then now I have the opportunity to be the recreation director. Very excited.
Someone mentioned maybe you were a swim team coach, too?
Yeah, that's actually where I was before I just came from practice.
Okay.
Yep.
So are you still going to continue doing that while you're recreation director?
Still coaching.
There won't be a conflict there, right?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, very good. So where did you go to school?
I was at York College, and mm-hmm. I actually just transferred to East Stroudsburg, so I'm commuting now. So
great.
That's what made it possible to be the recreation director.
Congratulations,
so.
And good luck.
Good luck.
Great. Thank you.
Congratulations. Welcome great. Aboard.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Luke Lieba for Hometown Heroes. Should have had you come up with Rolling Thunder.
Good evening, Mayor McDonald, Council, and citizens of Washington. My name is Luke Lieba, and I'm a Naval Sea Cadet. Basically, we're like a civilian auxiliary group, but I'm not mainly here for that. I'm here for more of a proposal for Hometown Heroes. So before I start, I'm just going to pass out a packet real quick just so everybody has a background.
Thank you.
Thank you.
you have enough?
I think so. Give it to your mom already.
There you go.
So Hometown Heroes, what I want to try and do is kind of show our gratitude for the sacrifices made by current military members of the military. So in our town, we know a few people already who are currently serving in our armed forces, but more of a background knowledge of how this idea came up. While I was doing an event for Sea Cadets, I was in East Brunswick, and they had this whole big ceremony on Memorial Day for all the veterans and obviously the deceased who passed away making the ultimate sacrifice. And I was able to be a wreath bearer and give a wreath to their district's senator or assemblywoman. So it was just a very nice ceremony, and I feel like we can do something that they've done there, which is a lot more toned down but much more feasible. And it's to give kind of a wall split off in Borough Hall that can have their picture up, which kind of just shows that we remember who is there and fighting for our freedoms.
Would this be for current service
members? Yes, sir.
And then when they're discharged, the picture come down sort of thing?
I'm not sure. That's something we could kind of decide.
Yeah. I'm just thinking 20 years from now, we have more pictures than we have wall space? Yeah.
Because I know there, too, if they're deceased, they usually keep the name up there, so I'm assuming that they might just keep the wall,
okay, a plaque of names.
Yeah, or it's more of a photograph, but
I'm saying for the deceased, maybe a plaque of names and the pictures of current members.
That kind of thing. Whatever.
A suggestion.
Well, that's the thing with this too. We can do whatever works best for you guys, but it's more just a proposal to try and get it started, and I don't know, we're just modeling it after the East Brunswick program. So
I understand.
We need a motion to go forward with this?
No motion in support.
Do
you want to hand out that form?
Second.
This is also the form, this is the proposal form to ask family if we would be able to use their picture and put them up on the wall.
This would just be current active duty personnel, correct?
Yes.
Have any idea how many active duty personnel are from the borough now on active duty? Any idea?
Right now, I know two at least. That's not even with trying to spread the word and figure out who else is in it. And I mean, we can always start small, because like Mayor McDonald said, the wall could probably fit up pretty quickly if it is over a period of time. So,
well, if you're spearheading this, I can give you some information. Contact the recruiters and they'll have a list of everybody who is on active duty from this town.
That isn't confidential information, is it?
Nope.
Okay.
Actually, they do press releases when people join, and they can tell you who is from each branch of the service has a list of where they're from, how long they've been in.
Now, how far would you start? Where would you start? I mean, I know you said current, but you want to give some people that, want to go back 5 years or?
Well, no, anybody that's on active duty now.
Yeah.
Start with doesn't make any difference how long they've been in. Like, if they're on active duty, they're on active duty. You know?
Or it could just be they contact. By saying that it started, they would have to obviously fill out the form
correct.
For permission. So
yeah.
I don't think he would approach all the families personally. It would be a matter of them finding out about the program and submitting it and letting it grow from there.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on the floor.
Yes, we do. Anything, any other discussion on it?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
No.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for your time.
I'm glad you went with the Navy, too.
That brings us to the Green Energy, Energy in the Bank, people. We're the backers for Washington Community Solar. Sir, do you give your name for the record, please?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to thank the mayor. I'd like to thank Christie for sending this up. And I'd like to thank the borough council for allowing us to be here. My name is William DeFilippo. I'm from a company called Green Energy Partners. We are a national developer of solar projects, primarily in North America. We have some projects in Mexico and Puerto Rico, but primarily North America. I'd like to hand out a few handouts first so you can open the discussion. Thank you. The second handout is a copy of the amendment that we're proposing.
Something we already have.
Something you already have with a few minor changes that were suggested when we met with Christine. In the packet, if everybody could start with the packets of Green Energy and Energy in the Bank. This is more of an information book to kind of give everybody a little flavor on who we are and what we do. I got involved as a developer about 2 months ago with the original owners that started to develop this project from 2 years ago. So I know it's been a while, I know it's been coming for a while, and I know it hasn't happened. And it's typical when I get involved with a project that let's call them a real estate developer and a lawyer try to develop a solar project. I've never done solar before. It's something that I see quite often. It's something that happens where they might put together a project that for whatever reason isn't bankable, isn't fundable, doesn't have all the final approvals, and that's kind of where we are with your project. The initial package that I put in front of you, again, is more information package on who we are, is more information package on what we've done, how many projects we built successfully, and things we've closed recently. If you flip to the page that says Washboro Draft Layout. I have a color one, which I can give one here.
So is this different from the original design that was given to us?
This is slightly different. That's what we're going to talk about.
And it's on the Washington Township property?
Correct. This is on the same property, same location. All the land approvals for Washington Township have been granted. The biggest problem that they had structured with your deal, and it's in the amendment, is the size of the system. This new layout is 600 kW. It was shrunk for a couple reasons. One of the main reasons is they had promised delivery of output that cannot happen in net metering rules and regulations. They overpromised delivery of output to the borough, which cannot happen. Net metering regulations determine that you should not build greater than 15% to 20% of the overall system size. We have the current usage, which is on another page.
So you're changing the size of the whole system.
We're changing the size of the system down because it's not possible for us to build a system and deliver you over 100% of what you're using. It would bounce out of net metering. So your size of your system output has changed. and we have all the bills and we have the system size. It's in this section here.
Page 9,
is that where it is?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Page 9 talks about your current output, and it also talks about the savings and first year savings.
Opportunity for the overage to get sold back.
There is. Net metering regulations don't work that way. We're now allowed to over. We're falling under a net metering cap, which allows us to build solar up to 15% to 20% of your current usage. We're not allowed to build over your current usage and sell back. We would fall out of the net metering cap. We'd be a wholesale cap. So this doesn't allow us to build more than you're currently using. And when we take this and we fund these projects, and I guess, you know, I build multiple megawatts and I get bank financing and funding, you have a clause in your PPA which allows you to fluctuate 25%. I think what they did was, and I did confirm this, that they weren't aware of the bank financing they weren't with. So they took your bills from 2 years ago and they maxed it out and said, we'll give you this. And I'm sure somebody said, if we have a reduction of bills, if we do lighting upgrades, if we do LED upgrades, and our consumption, you know, falls back, we don't want to pay for more than we're using. And that's where I think that 25% came in the current power purchase agreement that you all have signed. So nobody's going to finance and bank a project that's going to allow that to fluctuate. Because when I go to banking and financing, I can't adjust by 25% of what the borough is purchasing. So the best way to nip this in the bud is to build a system that's 15 to 20% less than you're actually using. So you're allowed to fluctuate, but you're not hurting the economics of the project, but we're still getting close to your total output.
Is there room for growth later on?
There,
so then that we increase our...
Yeah, if you increase your output substantially, we can always build another system and sign a new power purchase agreement. There's nothing to stop you from doing that. We have plenty of ground to build more.
Okay.
Yeah, we have plenty of ground to build more, so we can always come back and revisit that.
Okay.
Here's your total output. I don't know why this wasn't in the slide. I don't know why you didn't make it, and I apologize. I only have one sheet. This is a good way to look at your output, and I'll bring this over there in a second. So,
would you define the output you're talking about for us? You're talking about the output from the plant coming into our facilities?
I'm talking about your current usage. Your total electric usage per year, and this was from 2013 bills. We had to get updated bills.
Okay.
I don't know where we got them from. You're saying
output, it makes me think we're producing energy.
No, I'm sorry. That's bad. So it's your total usage.
Okay.
Your annual usage that the borough is using.
Yes, at the water plant and the DPW.
The garage, yes. The water plant and this new garage. So we did blend in your new garage, and we did blend in. So if you see this, you're using a total of 836,587. That's 2013. Now, if 2014 fluctuates a little bit, that's fine. But when I build solar projects, again, you'll see in my bio all these projects and press releases, we never build to 100%. Okay, that'll be great. So we never build to 100% for a number of reasons. These are fluorescent lights. Somebody comes in here 5 years from now and says, we're going to upgrade your whole building with LED. It's not going to cost you anything. And your bill drops 5% or 8%. You want the room to fluctuate a little bit. So we can never build 100% of your usage because as the bills prove, when they started this project 2 years ago, it's different from your current usage today.
It's not the same. It's going to be different every year.
It's going to be different within 5% or 10% every year. So, you know, the recommendations we're making, the biggest hurdle we had in financing your power purchase agreement was that 25% drop. We have to deliver more than your current usage. If you read the power purchase agreement, I have to deliver you power than you currently use it. Doesn't make sense. I can't sell it anywhere, not under the net metering regulations. So this is just an idea of your current, a clear-cut idea of your current usage as of 2013. So we want to keep this simple. We don't want to, you can confirm it and take a look at it. So we want to keep it simple. We don't want to change the land zoning. We don't want to change the use of the property. We don't want to shrink the system way too small. We don't want to. The few amendments that we're asking in the power purchase agreement is so I can close on the financing and start construction on this. We've already had Amberjack Solar out. We've already done new designs. We've already done output studies. And we've already got the land use permits from the township. That's already set in place. The last hurdle is purely to amend this PPA. And I know they've asked for amendments before, but again, you're asking, you know, I just came into this 2.5-3 months ago when I met Christine, and my bio and background can speak for itself on the number of projects that I've done across the country and the number of projects that I have press releases on and commissioned. So it's a great project. I want to see it go forward. And in that booklet, it outlines, we're outlining your current savings. The rate that you're currently getting is much lower than I'm currently giving other New Jersey projects that I'm developing at this time. But again, we don't want to upset the apple cart or make too many changes. We want to keep it simple. So the benefit of the savings over 15 years is in that pro forma on that cost savings calculator, which I stuck in there.
I have a question.
Sure.
There's one concern that I have.
Absolutely.
And it sticks out like sore thumb because in the amendments, it says you're going to have 9 months to get all the permits. Now, you said you already have half your permits done. We've been waiting already 2 years for this project. I know you just came on board.
Just came on board. Good question.
Maybe we can get this expedited some way if we're going to have it. And also on Section 4, we said 18 months for the delivery.
Yeah, well, here's the difference. Good question. Let me talk about that. So we have land use permits from the township. They're not building permits.
Right.
So prior to making this amendment, when we make these amendments, I then have to go submit for permits on both areas. I got to submit here and I got to submit there, and I got to submit for all the traditional construction permits to go along. They take 60 to 90 days type of thing. Prior to me getting a permit, I do not put, let's call them tens of thousands of dollars of deposits, probably in the hundreds of thousands, it is on equipment. Equipment takes 90 days to order and bring in. So right there, 6 months into it. Then we got winter. I'm not building during the dead of winter. It just doesn't happen. So 9 months is not a long time for me to get everything and start construction. I make the difference between 9 and 18 because from when I start, then I have a commissioning process. So the actual construction period is not long. 600 kW system, I just did Stonehill College with 9,000 solar panels in Massachusetts. I do a lot of colleges. The actual construction took 4 months, 3 months, not long. But it's taken us over a year because we have the winter time, we have final connections, then we have the utility companies got to come out and they got to bring their engineers out and they got to survey it, then they got to tie in for commissioning, then I got to get a red light, green light to turn it on. So,
is it just because we're a municipal, public, because
I'm not familiar with the
solar farm that was done at Merck maybe about, 10 years ago.
Right.
And they had started and finished it all within a year, and, I'm sure it was plugged right in. So, I don't know that part for sure, but I know the construction was very quick.
Yeah, the construction.
That was a big, it does their whole plan.
The construction is very quick.
Right.
But what I don't want to do is come back and ask for another extension.
Right.
So 9 months isn't unreasonable for me to get this done. But what I will do is, like it has happened in the past, I just came in this. I will let Christine know what's going on all aboard. I will send her the approvals when I get them. I will start. I have the Washington Township approvals with me here that the other group got because apparently Christine hasn't seen them, but I've seen them because I bought this project and I wanted to see them. So I don't see any hurdles with this project other than these few amendments that I'm talking about, which aren't going to affect you other than you're not going to get $860,000. You're not buying more than you're using. I'm going to set it at an amount which isn't going to disrupt you guys, which is going to allow you to do some energy audits and upgrades down the road because everybody's pitching them. I don't know if you've been pitched yet, but all the townships are getting hit by these LED things and lights are going to save you money and it'll save you 10%. So, I feel comfortable in not overselling something. If you build another plant or you do something down the road, I'm buying this property from the last. I mean, I have it under contract. So I am going to own it. You're going to be dealing with me. You want to build another 200 kW? Great. Love it. You know, your credit's A2. I checked it out with Moody's. I'd love to do it. This is a good project. It should get done. These are the type of projects are getting done. The problem is you have 2 years of a bad group, and I don't want to say they're a bad group because they did get the township approvals. They are land guys. They're just not solar guys. They just have never done the solar project.
So that brings us to the more positive kind of
sure.
things, like the savings that we're going to get. So if you could just briefly just condense that up to how much electricity savings we'll be having per year with your project.
Well, the if you flip to page 8. No, I'm sorry, page 9. You're right. Energy savings. You're right. So, again, we took your current power purchase agreement at 9.5 cents, or 9 cents, sorry, with a 2.5% escalator. This is, it's quite frankly, it's low for New Jersey, but again, this was done a while ago. I don't want to change the current rate. But, so, you know, a 15-year savings is $907,913. If you do it on an annual estimated from the public utility of 5%. Now, if you go to the PUC's website, which we just did last week, it shows 8%. But we you know, the annual average across the country is 4.9, so we chose 5.
So this thing is a little skewed anyway, because you're starting us in 2014, and you're not going to be able to provide us with energy until 2015.
Right? Well, you're right, but if you ratchet down a year, the savings still, you know, should end up pretty
so
close to where they're at.
Just
yeah, you don't
make 2014, 2015.
Correct. Your 9 cents, the way the PPA is written is you don't, until we generate power, and that's one of the amendments in there which actually benefits you. There was an amendment, there was something written in the PPA that says the first year we're able to charge you. So if we weren't, you know what I mean, we cleared it up and said at commissioning when we generate power, we then start charging you. So it's based upon the date we start. So if this lops into 15, then everything ratchets down. But the nine cents starts at
commission.
Our first year.
Your first year.
So even if it's 2015.
Even if it's 2015,
it's going to be 9.23.
Correct. It's going to be, yeah, we're you know.
Okay.
Correct.
I have a problem with the number 8 deleting that whole section B.
Sure.
So I'm not in favor of doing it. Just saying it out loud in public. Mm-hmm.
No, let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, that's what's being deleted.
Which one?
Appendix A.
So they could add.
I want to put it in. They want to take it out.
Exhibit A.
No, just this section they want to delete.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Section D. Read what it is.
The parties further agree that in no event shall the PPA price in any year of this PPA exceed the total price of electricity, including all applicable fees, charges, taxes, and other items typically included in a similar commercial utility bill that would be available to the borough from the local electric utility provider. So by keeping this in there, they can never have a higher. By deleting it, they can have a higher.
True. Well, no, I think
I have. I'm
you have the PPA? Great. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you think we got copies of the power purchase agreement if anybody doesn't?
We have.
If you know that language, and Charles can speak to it. I went through the PPA, and I'm not looking for major changes here, but if you ever done commercial banking or any kind of lending, I can't put language in there that's not going to allow me to make it financeable. Because ultimately, there's millions of dollars put out in this system. I'm fronting the money. I have to write the checks for millions of dollars to build this solar system. Ultimately, I make money after I break
even
in 8 years,
for the best
and you're making
of the
it.
Town,
exactly. So what we're doing is we're fixing. Yeah, but it's not bankable. It's not buildable. So you won't have a solar system from me if that's not changed.
Well, it's not the borough's responsibility to make sure that you get financing or that you can make a profit on this.
Well, that's why it hasn't happened in 2 years.
Okay.
It hasn't been bankable. The power purchase agreement
hasn't been
bankable.
We have nothing to lose. I see everything that you've done here. You're asking us for a bunch of concessions, and we're getting nothing. You don't accept the ability to get the project done. And I don't really see that's a great benefit.
Absolutely, it hasn't happened.
Right.
It hasn't happened for the main reason, they can't get funding. They tried everywhere to go get funding.
But then again, we weren't even aware of that, some of us. Yeah, so
well,
we could go out and solicit our own if we wanted to, possibly.
You could.
I'm not saying that yours is not a good thing, but all we're asking maybe is to leave that one section in there.
Well, it's something that, again, you know, we can talk about, but this is already, I didn't come, you know, the time I spent with Christine, the time I spent sitting here, I've already have this approved and I already have the changes done. So I can't say, yes, I'm going to just X that. I'd have to go back to the bank. It's Hudson. And I have to go sit with my banking partner and say, look, we want to leave this in the power purchase. It's still bankable.
Mm-hmm.
It is still financeable.
We can invite them to not in front of the council.
Actually, that's not for us. That's between the developer and the
right.
I'd
just like to say, I mean, if you look at the savings calculator, I mean, to your concern, you're not going to find yourself in a situation where you're paying more than what your local
I'm just looking down the road.
But my crystal ball doesn't tell me that.
Right.
Understood. But the real concern for taking that out is the bankability. If we're not concerned about going over
correct
the rate. If you look at the numbers, you're not even reaching your current rate until the year 2030.
In a projection.
So, I'm sorry? Well,
in a projection.
And you're right, but your current rate that you're paying now, you're not reaching it.
Right. Well, this is what we're agreeing. It's not just a projection. We're saying 9 cents per year with a 2.5% escalator. So it's not a projection. It's a commitment.
For the first year after the required commencement date.
No, for
the whole contract. We're committing to that for 15 years. It's a fixed. One of the benefits,
just like the other.
Right.
Correct.
What
one of the benefits of most of the municipalities want to do is they want to fix their rate because they don't know how high it's going. They don't know where it's going. And, you know, if there's a new alternative fuel made that's going to happen in 15 years, then you know what? But at least the boroughs are banking on, we can deal with these fixed costs. We can, you know, we have a budget and a line item that's fixed. We're not going to know every year it's changing. So that's something that, you know, I can't agree to just nix. I'd have to go sit with the banking partners and work that out, as you just said.
And I just want to emphasize that is not because we're afraid that we'll go over the rate.
Yeah.
That's simply to get the project financed.
Well, it's not so much over the rate. It's that your JCP&L could lower their rates. I realize that, you know, that may be a fantasy. But theoretically, it is possible. You know, they could build hundreds of solar plants and reduce their costs.
Right.
And or the new energy, as you say.
A new alternative fuel.
If we get to 2027 and you're charging us $12.41 and they want to charge us 11 cents, we're on the hook for it.
Correct. Absolutely. You're on the hook for whatever we produce. Just like we're on the hook to produce that, to give that power to.
And that's what we don't like. We want to be able to be competitive if we go out for bid for this. You know, why should we ask our residents to pay more than what they can get it for from JCP&L?
Right. Well, once we build the solar system and commit to the millions of dollars of financing, as long as we deliver you that power, you can't go out for bid and try to undercut that. That's very clear.
Then you should have no problem.
And that's part of the problem.
Exhibit
right.
A, Section D.
Well, this amendment was approved at Hudson,
right.
So I have to go sit back and talk with them about that.
Yeah, so if it was up to you, you would have no problem with it. It's up to the
I don't have any problem with it because I absolutely, based upon where power is going, based upon the annual upgrades, based upon the Public Utility Commission, which we did their numbers, this is an 8% increase. I have no, you're not hitting a current rate till 2035, according to this PPA. I actually, if you have time to digest it, I would want to think, Bill, look, we don't want 15 years. We want 30 years with you because we're not getting back to our current rate till then. So I think it's a disadvantage to only do 15 years for you guys, but that's what was struck. I didn't strike that deal. Again, I didn't cut this deal with the PPA. This is somebody else that put this deal. And 2 years of them trying to finance it has been the problem. That's point blank. This should have been done a year and a half, 2 years ago, this project. It's a great project. The credit's good. There's no reason why this shouldn't have been done other than they made mistakes that they were unaware of.
And I don't recall them coming here asking for extensions because they didn't have the financial backing. Because of getting permits and
that's my recollection, though.
So I know. So that's news to me. So.
Well, I don't think they told you a lot of stuff because they never shared the land use permits with you either. But
right.
You know that's you know, a lot of projects are being built in New Jersey, and I'm building a lot of projects, and I'm not, you know, I don't want this to be contentious. I want it to be.
Bill, where else are your other projects at?
There are New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut. There's a list of my projects here.
Is it, is there, like, in New Jersey?
Yeah, there's two pages of projects.
I agree, sir.
Yeah. Is there any other issues with the amendment that, that anybody sees that they might have a problem with?
Let's go over some of the amendments, just so we
sure.
get
there. Sure, absolutely.
The first one you're talking about really is Section 3.2BI. The power provider agrees to provide a minimum 700,000 kilowatt hours of electricity to the borough. For but did
correct.
You not say this is going to be a 600 kilowatt?
Correct. What happens is if you look at that sheet that you just photocopied, the one that showed the annual production.
You talking about in this area?
No, it was. I handed it
to
you.
Do you have
no.
The new sheet?
Oh, is it the one page thing that you
yeah,
had?
The
I thought
one
maybe over there.
Ah, this okay.
This one?
Yeah.
No,
that one sheet that he came
it was just one page.
Now, and when you first came in, you said you told us 600, and the amendment is 700.
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you one second. No.
It's a single sheet.
It was one page. I gave it to you, and then you grabbed it.
Yeah.
I
gave it to them. They have it somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You passed it around. It didn't make it back to the
maybe it's under the big sheet there?
We didn't even say that.
Right here. Here it is. Okay. This will show it clearly. So what happens is that is your total usage as of 2013. These two added up equals 836,000. If you take 85% of your total usage, that's 711,000. A 600 kW, and I'm going to leave you this sheet so you guys can have it. A 600 kW system, if you go to your page 8, I think it is, or 6, it'll show you what a 600 kW system has more output than Mr. Pease has. Right here. Here is a output. That system we designed at 600 kW will produce 702,000 kWh. So I do not want to go over 711. I don't want to go over 85% of your usage.
Well, I think something here, you have 700,000 kW here.
Right.
Should that just be 700 kW?
No, it should be. The H, seven. It's actually listed right as kWh with 700,000 kWh.
Okay.
That's listed correctly. So this is a 600 kW system, which will produce, in your packet, it has an output, which will produce 700,000 kWh. So I don't want to build
is that at peak performance? Average
that,
performance?
Yeah, I did an annual chart, which is in your package on page seven. Correct. That shows each month. That's month 1 through 12. So it tells you what this system will produce every single month. They produce less during the winter and more during the summer, and there's peak hours. So this is a total output that so that's why I'm guaranteeing you a minimum of 700,000. So it'll show month 1, which correlates. So that 702 is what this system will produce, and that's what I'm guaranteeing. And that's this exact drawing here.
And it would be a maximum of 785 or 800,000. What's the maximum?
Well, your current usage is 836.
Right.
I don't want to build bigger than 85%.
I understand. So, but you will if we have the need during, say, one particular year. It could be as high as
if our energy usage goes up.
Right.
Yeah, if your energy usage goes up and we want to amend the PPA and build more, I will do
no,
that.
No. But, I mean,
I can't
it doesn't clearly say 85% of whatever our total usage is going to change to be. It may change.
I'm guaranteeing you a minimum of 700,000,
and that's it. So
and
you're not
it.
Doing it based on the 85% of if our usage goes up.
Yeah, it doesn't fluctuate with your usage. When I build it, that's a fixed system. That system will give you 700,000 and change. It's not going to give you on a good year 800. It's not. I'm not able to.
Well,
do
see,
that.
The other thing is our garage has only been, you know, in usage for a few years now. We don't have, I mean, there may be some added things to it, and electricity usage
right.
may change.
That's your garage usage right there
right.
in here.
Right. and we had just changes to the headworks and the sewer plant. So some of our electricity amounts are going to change.
Do you think they'll go up or down?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not that expert in that area. I'm just saying that it's definitely...
Part of that was supposed to get the energy down, was it not?
Yeah, hopefully. But well, we don't know until we actually see some numbers. So
this doesn't change your load on what you're using. This just gives you the break on the rates and gives you the savings. So when I build a system, it's fixed. It's not, I can only add later but we looked at 3 years of your usage. It only fluctuated 50,000 kW. It didn't fluctuate hundreds of, you know, we looked at 3 years of your bills. It only fluctuated.
Christine, when did they finish that headworks, or is it still unfinished?
It's complete.
Now it is, right?
It is complete, yeah.
Okay. And so when did that actually go online, whatever they call it?
3 or 4 months ago.
Okay, so it's really pretty new. So we don't, you know, have at least that in there.
Well, what we could do is this a new equipment you've added, or some?
It's a new basic front part of the sewer system. You know, they upgraded that.
I don't think that the new headworks was supposed to reduce energy, though. That wasn't part of our contract extension,
right,
amendment with Veolia.
Does that not have the grinder in it that's supposed to be more efficient?
I don't know. Okay. Can you answer that question? Does the headworks have the grinder in it that's supposed to be more energy efficient?
Everything that they put in is supposed to be more energy efficient.
Okay. So to answer your question, yes. But
okay. So then your bill. So then your bills will go down. That's even more why I don't want to bill to 100%, because the net metering laws in New Jersey don't allow me to. But I am not going to build close to your load of 836 because. You've already dropped from 860 to 836 from 12 to 13. What they promised you in the contract's more than you're currently using. So you know what I mean? So if you have this new technology, it's going to drop it another 5%. That'll just get closer to your break-even point. So, you know, that's why I'm building 700.
All right, I think we've got through that.
Okay.
The number 3 that you have there, that you want to delete from section 3.2, really it's going to leave this point, you know, for number 8, the same thing.
Okay.
You want to take out the guarantee that you'll be lower than the electric utility at all times and all places, and it seems to me that we don't want that.
No,
we want those things deleted.
We don't want those deleted. I won't vote for that.
Yes.
It's 3 and it's
They're pretty much the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to talk about number 4, Charles? Are you talking number 4 here? Or are you talking? Oh, I'm sorry.
On that.
Okay.
You want to delete section 3.2C.
Correct. Okay, I'm sorry, I was on number 4.
And number 8 it's pretty much the same language.
Right, correct, okay. All right, I got it.
Okay. Number 4.
Okay.
Define force majeure for us, please.
It's defined in the PPA. So, I mean, we haven't changed any definition in terms of force majeure in the PPA.
Okay, I didn't read that in there.
Okay.
I don't remember what force majeure is.
Generally speaking?
Yes.
It's very long.
Tornado.
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something that's out of our control.
Gotcha.
It also includes strikes or labor disputes under the definition in the contract.
Okay.
Civil unrest.
But you feel you can get it done in 9 months at the maximum, but yet you're asking for 18, as I read it here.
Well, no, the two different dates.
It's 9 months to get the permitting?
To get all the permitting done and begin construction.
And 18 months until we start delivery of electricity.
Okay. So I flip the switch on.
So at worst case, you're given 9 months to get all your permits and everything, and another 9 months to construct.
To construct and the construction, right.
Get approvals.
Right. The construction's, you know, 4 months of actual construction, but actually to get the utility companies out to approve, you know what I mean, they take a couple months. So So to turn...
We have close relationships with our utility company. And you know what? We would probably like to have 6 months and 6 months. So giving... Because we've waited a long time for this project, as I said earlier.
I know you have.
You know, if we get everything to help you line everything up with the permits and expedite it, I mean, you know, we want to get it done sooner than later.
Okay.
Well, that's your advantage too.
Yeah, no, I'm in favor of that.
You can sell that to the bank.
Turning it on is JCP&L issue is, JCP&L.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been unable to get any township or school to call JCP&L, tell them to come out sooner.
We have a working relationship with JCP&L.
Yeah.
You know, should have no problem with that.
Well, I can look at shortening up those dates to try to help.
That'd be great.
Okay. Absolutely.
Excuse me, where is the 9-month provision?
It's on page...
It's
early on
number one.
Number one.
On the amendment, page one of three.
On the amendment. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I overlooked that somehow. Thank you.
Now
sure.
I want to see if we can make it six.
Yes.
Okay, anybody else?
Excuse me.
Well,
anything on number four? Okay, and then that would take us to number five there. Let's delete that section from 5.2. Correct. That's the section I'm talking about where we give you a fixed number and it can't fluctuate because I can't get a repayment structure.
That's okay. I think that's okay. We can't reduce our usage by 25%.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we can go 24.9.
Right.
But not 25.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Right there. Is there any way, you provide that power to us, is there any way we can store it?
I don't know. I'll find out. I'll ask. It's very expensive. Storage is very expensive. But I don't think, because when you do the net metering in New Jersey, it's a credit system. So, you know, on your bill, it's called an in and an out meter.
Right.
So, you know, you use 70,000 kWh that month, and then on the meter that's tied into your account, we produce 60, so you only get billed for the difference of 10. So I don't know if you could actually take that power and stick it in the battery. I don't think you can, but the batteries are very costly to maintain and very expensive, and it's not something that I do. I do all net metering projects. But it's a good question.
Could we sell your overproduction?
No. I can't even sell it because I'm on a net metering contract. That's why they don't allow me to overproduce. They don't want, I'm not, when I get the interconnection approvals, I'm not providing them any excess power.
But 2 years ago, that wouldn't have been a problem, right?
Well, no, I think we're talking two different things. I think funding 3 years ago when the SRECs were $500.
Well, if you produced over, you could put it back into the JCP&L system a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago.
I think the net metering rules have been out for 2 or 3 years, so I don't know what the priors were before that with the net metering rules, but you know, it's something that I'm not allowed to do.
They're different from what would happen in a household versus what you're doing.
Right. And there's also, you know, I'd be under a commercial tariff with JCP&L. So if I build a 20 megawatt system, they don't give me 15-year contracts. They'll give me an annual contract at wholesale, 4.9 cents. That's what they give me for the excess power. But I'm not allowed to sell it to anybody but them.
Right.
But so I don't.
And then they sell it for 12.
And they sell it for
whatever.
13, 14, whatever, whatever, exactly. So that's why you don't have a lot of those big projects going on because they don't financially make sense right now.
What happens if you go over?
If you go over, what do you mean over?
You go over our usage.
If we use more than what they produce?
We say
the difference. Right.
So we're never going to go. They're only giving us 700, and right now we're 836.
Right. And then maybe with these new energy things you did, maybe you'll go down to 790 or 7. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys want me to design this a little more to get, like, an extra 25, you know, I just don't want to... Well, some people do, but some people don't. I don't want to... With energy audits and energy savings, I don't want, you know, we don't want those numbers to invert, ever.
But we don't want to overbuild it unless we need it.
Correct.
It's going to cost more money to everybody.
Correct.
It costs you more money.
Right. Correct.
When you go
correct.
Over.
Correct.
In the long run.
And one other question. And I don't know if you guys know the answer to this.
Sure.
We are a community building up to Sustainable Jersey credits to get certification from them.
Okay.
With this being built in Washington Township, but giving the power to us, do you think that that gives us sustainable Jersey credits?
We'll look into it. I that's a good question. We might have that down.
Do a shared service agreement.
No.
Why is your tongue?
No.
Yeah, we'll find out because you're actually the host.
Right.
Right? So my power purchase agreement identifies you as the host of taking the power.
That's
so
what we want.
Your power is coming from a renewable energy source. So, got to ask a lawyer. I don't know. I
don't know the law of regulation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That, I would have. I'd have to do the same thing.
Yeah, Sustainable Jersey is a completely different entity.
But I think you have a great argument because, you know, you're buying, you know, more than 85% of your bill is going to come from renewable, 85% of your power. So it's going to make a big splash. You're going to get a lot of press, and I can't see why that wouldn't qualify you because you're buying that power from renewable. But I don't know.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I will. We'll look into it.
Yeah.
Charles will look it up and read it. We'll get the code. Right. You know, we'll send you an email. Get
okay.
it, Christine.
Fine.
I'm trying to look here in the original agreement. I thought there was somewhere in there that they said that they would pay us. They would provide us guarantee at least 75% of what we use for the year. Or pay the difference. Jason Fino. Where's that? What page? I'm looking through that.
I believe it's 3.3B. Yeah, we tried to change as little as possible. I mean, just the things that we have to get
done. In the event of power. I have a little side question, too.
Sure.
Just a little. Absolutely. The name of your company is Ambertech?
No.
What is Ambertech?
Yeah. Ambertech.
That's confusing. I
okay.
just need to know
no,
the
no,
name.
No. It's nowhere in the new agreement, so I need to.
See, I
absolutely.
We cost
they are green.
And I'll hand out cards. Ambertech is we are developers, so we buy and build projects and buy up contractors. They're a local contractor. They're actually not too far from here. They're in New Jersey. They just did one. They just did a 500 kW job for us at Alpha.
Business-wise, though, I guess you took over the Washington Community Solar name and their operations.
I took the rights to that special permit.
So that LLC is still in existence now.
Still in existence.
You're taking it over.
And we're taking over
the rights
to that
good permit.
I'm clear now.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. This original agreement was reviewed by your office, right, Judy?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that we should have put in there
sure.
the 600,000 kilowatt hours? You know, I'm not a lawyer, so when you say 3.3B, should we have, it says minimum guarantee purchase, whatever there, they provide minus the initial, whatever. Should it say that if they don't provide us at least 600,000 kilowatt hours a year, they pay the difference?
I need to read the whole paragraph.
Okay.
Give me a minute.
Yeah, and that's something that just a thought. You know, when we build these systems, they're financed, and the systems produce you know based upon sun, based upon clouds,
right.
They produce a range of a few percent, but we true up every month, so we're not billing you for more than we're producing, if that makes sense. We're not able just to arbitrarily bill you for some number. There's a meter there and the utility company registers that meter, and then they see the credits we produced, and then they see what you did. So we're not really, you know, we're not, it doesn't benefit, I don't think it's really much benefit to even, I don't know why it's in there, because it doesn't make sense, we just left it, but it's not, you know, we're producing the most we can because it benefits us financially and it benefits you to take the power and buy it.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
The way it was presented to us, the way that I remember it,
okay.
is that at the end of the year they would have supplied at least 75% of what it was that the 800 or whatever that they were going to do. if they didn't provide that 75%, they were actually going to pay the difference to JCP&L, or pay us for the difference that we have to pay JCP&L.
I have no problem if you want to put a low side of 600,000 kWh hours, because I know I'm going to produce 7, and my swing will ever, unless, you know, we have a solar eclipse for 12 months, you know. You know, if that happens, we have bigger problems, but I don't care about the 100,000 production. But I, you know, I have no problem putting a low of 600. Because we adjusted the system size, you know, I can put a number of 600,000, but, you know, we can...
See, here's what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Is when they came, they were confident that they would produce everything that they said they were going to produce, and now you're telling us they couldn't.
They couldn't finance it.
Okay. Well, they said if they couldn't produce that, they would. If they couldn't produce 75% of that. See, the way it works right now, you're going to give us 600,000 kilowatt hours, right?
700.
Okay.
A year.
Okay, a year. So if you can't make that because there's a six-month-long solar eclipse,
mm-hmm.
We're on the hook to JCP&L for what we pay them. And maybe the solar eclipse was the wrong thing, but
right.
You're just not producing. Whatever, let's say you produced, 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
You guys would be on the hook for the 600,000, for the other additional 100,000, and then we pick up the cost for what we use over the 600,000. Understand what I'm saying?
Well, right.
That's how it was.
That's
presented
that.
To us.
David, if I could, I'm looking at that 3.3B,
right.
And it says that if the power provider fails to deliver the electricity by the required commencement date, then they'll pay liquidated damages to the borough equal to the difference between the per kilowatt cost for delivered electricity provided by JCP&L minus the initial PPA price per kilowatt hour multiplied by the minimum guaranteed purchase referenced in section 5.1A. Okay, so you go to 5.1A and that just talks about it, but it doesn't tell you what the but it refers you back to, it's in the definition section, and it's in section of the definition refers you to section 3.2B1, and the minimum guaranteed delivery is what they're changing from 867 kilowatt hours of electricity. It does. It says it. It refers you back to all those places. So if the borough agrees that the amendment that they are requesting in number 2 to provide a minimum of 700,000 WH, that is the minimum guaranteed deliver. So that's the number. It's already in there. It just
right.
goes to different paragraphs
at
it.
That's fine. It also changes the effective date, too. So by
right.
changing the effective date, we then push that out because we're beyond those dates. It's
no, I understand
okay.
that it does that,
okay.
but I just mean that that number is already yeah. referenced.
I have
here.
A question.
Sure.
Is your equipment different? Are your solar panels different? Has anything changed from the design in terms of what they were proposing and then what you're doing?
You're
using the same panels?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of panels, and it's the same photovoltaic equipment, same cells, same stuff. Might be a different manufacturer, might be different wattage. I might use a different racking time. I don't even know who their EPC was. I don't know who laid it out.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah, but you know, Amberjack is going to build it for us. They are a local reputable company within 50 miles from here. They just built a 500 kW system for us at Alpha in New Jersey. Where's Alpha?
Alpha is
it's here in Warren.
No,
okay.
No, it's
right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they have a 500 kW system that Amberjack just did on their roof. They did it like 9 months ago. So, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not, it's not, it wasn't my PPA, I was just left with it, you know, and I'm just trying to, you know, make it work.
I thought you looked at it maybe and you said, oh, you know what, this, we need to upgrade this system or let's scrap this.
No, I brought in a whole separate EPC, they already walked the sites, we did it, when did we do it? We did it like 2 months ago, we walked the sites, they've been up twice, they checked out the lines, the voltage,
We did everything separate.
The PPA doesn't speak to any equipment.
No, it doesn't, but I'm just curious.
The design does. It should have on there the racking and stuff like that.
In the original agreement, I have.
Yeah.
It's really not something that we need to be worried about.
As long as it's
all we're worried about is what they give to us and when they give it to us.
Right.
This price.
Correct, correct. As long as we contract the price and hold it at the rate and provide you the, you know.
Dave, do you have anything else that you wanted to ask?
How long do you think it would take you to meet, talk to your thank you department about number 8 there?
A few days.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Maybe by the next meeting.
So 3 and 8, really?
Forward.
Yeah.
3 and 8.
3 and 8.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, can you give me the question that you had again about the credits? What would be
sustainable?
Yes, it doesn't qualify for the New Jersey sustainable credit.
And they have a website.
Yeah, we're building it in a different township, but, you know, could they, since they're the host, would they qualify?
And we have a, there's nothing in there, but we have like an exclusivity kind of arrangement with you. So in other words, you can't take some of this electricity and sell it to Washington Township. Okay, just checking.
No.
Good question. And get it to something else.
No, not at all. When we fill out the interconnection and net metering applications, it's all, we put your meter numbers in. So, you know, we have to send it all to you anyway. So it's all yours. We're not, you know, it doesn't happen like that.
But if we built something else in that general area and asked you for more power, you could put up more solar panels.
Absolutely. We can do it.
And we could sell.
We can do it. You guys really want to sell power. He wants to sell power.
He's a businessman, so
he's always looking to sell something.
Right. You know, the ground isn't really usable for anything else, and there's a lot of it. So
okay.
We'd be more than happy to lease you some ground to build your extra solar.
All right. Let's start with this.
We'll start with one, right?
Great man, glad to see you moving. If you can get back to us with those two answers at the next meeting, it would be great. I think we'd be ready to make a decision.
So great.
Thank you very much.
Well, we end at the end of June, this agreement.
And June 30th. Our next meeting is July 2nd.
So should we give like a 30-day extension just to work this out? Or can we just wait till the 2nd, do you think?
This one expires. I mean, I think you could adopt it and have it be retroactive from the last date. But if you want to just have a resolution that would extend the current dates until the July meeting, the current deadlines, I should say, until the July meeting, that would be fine.
Okay. Well, why don't we do that then? And then it's formalized.
Great. Great.
Right. And so I'll make a motion then to, you know, have that extended until the first July meeting.
Till the next meeting.
What day is that? July 2nd.
July 2nd.
I believe that.
July 1st.
July 1st.
All right, so we'll give you till July 2nd.
Second.
Yeah, there was a second on it.
Okay, so we'll
is there any other discussion on that?
I don't know if that'd be fair to him. If for some reason he can't meet with his bankers within the next 10 days.
Well, I'll call Christine, tell her he got it done, and do the next meeting.
All right.
Okay.
I'll get it done.
All right.
Yeah, I figured he would.
Okay. I'll meet with him and get it done.
Okay, and that would be July 1st, then, not July 2nd.
Right.
We'll give you till July 2nd anyway. That gives you the extra day. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, can I ask you one question before
sure.
I should tell you that? So these other people presented this to them.
Yeah, I acquired the rights to the whole project, and they're around to help me answer any questions and should we need them to get anything done. But we acquired the rights to the ground and the project. Thank you.
All right, that brings us to our business improvement district with the agreement for the pocket park.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay, anybody want to begin the discussion on the pocket park here?
I think, first of all, nothing will be happening tonight because it needs to be in an ordinance, so I don't want you to think you're walking away with it completed tonight, you know, the agreement done tonight.
Okay.
But yeah, just to say time, Sandy.
Our attorney has already advised us that it needs to be done in it.
In an ordinance versus a resolution.
Right.
Okay.
Telling you that right off the bat.
And I don't know if you had a chance, I did just make some minor changes with it that put it in the form of an ordinance. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at it.
Yeah, I did see the red line, it was really nothing of consequence. And might I just ask why the ordinance versus the resolution, and is there a major difference?
Because the local public lands and building law gives the borough the power to acquire property, but says that for municipalities it should be done by way of ordinance.
Versus a resolution.
Correct. Counties can do it by resolution, but the municipality is supposed to do it by ordinance.
Understood.
And that's really the only reason.
Okay.
I do have a couple of concerns. Obviously, I want to, you know, the park and everything like that. But on page 2 at the very bottom.
We're in the agreement or the ordinance?
The resolution.
The agreement.
Okay.
We just saw the ordinance tonight, so I think everybody's
fine. I did not see the ordinance. There was no ordinance on my desk. There, it is. It's labeled.
Resolution.
99-2-14.
That's the resolution.
Okay. I have what was in my packet.
Ordinance 3 dash tracking.
Yeah,
so we'll just deal with the right agreement.
But it's probably the same. So you're saying that the bid will have the right to use the park at no cost, and at no time shall the borough seek to impose any fees for the bid or any member of the public or organization or entity that has reserved the use of the park at the bid. And you're saying that you will control all the usage. And you're going to keep all the revenues. But
there are no charges, though. But there are no charges.
So then what are you just saying? You're just saying the revenues from fundraising events.
We're talking about very specifically our fundraising, and as council has already mentioned in the past, of that you're concerned about our reserves, and we're trying to build up our reserves as a
right. So when you use it like for a fundraiser, you would keep those revenues.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So the intent is then there will never be any charge for anyone to use it.
To be upfront, we're not allowed. Part of the grant, you can't. It's from Warren County Open Space. We can't be charging fees other than something like a deposit or a cleanup fee or garbage removal. Whether it's us or you or whoever it is, we're not allowed to do that. It's not like a rental hall. It's public. It's a public space.
There's different rules for you than us, but I'm not sure.
Someone else can ask a question.
One of the things that I was concerned about was it being forever.
Yeah, that was on my next
page,
too.
Yeah.
Where does it say forever, though?
There is no time frame, like on B, even on the B that I was just questioning. There's no time frame. Like, this whole agreement is...
Yeah.
If you go, if you look at page 3, go to subsection F, and it's the paragraph below there. And it says... The conditions set forth in paragraphs A through F shall continue for the life of the corporate existence of the Washington Business Improvement District Management Corporation. I think that's a mistake. Or any successor entity designated to administer and manage the Washington Business Improvement District. So, let's be fair. When I spoke to the attorney, I said that we are asking for this right for a certain amount of time. We don't really know what is fair or what is proper to do. So, and let's be very frank and candid, that the fact is that borough council could literally close the bid down.
Exactly.
Exactly.
If we get into some type of a process.
And so that's why we wanted to be fair here, fair to us for all the work we put in over the intervening 4 years and the money that we put into this, obviously. And so this is, who's the successor entity? I don't know.
If there is a successor.
If there is. But obviously that the borough will own the park anyway.
But see, it's very confusing because of what you put in number A, letter A.
I'm sorry, which one?
A.
A.
A, in under 1A, where it says, you shall continue to exercise control over all usage of the park and shall have the right of first refusal, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, by members of the public or any organizations or entities or the borough. So basically, you're putting the control completely in his hands and the right of, you know, refusal for, supposing that we had come up with a special event for the homeless or something we wanted to do. And you guys already made reservations for something else on that particular free weekend. There was absolutely no way, if we stuck to the wording here, that we would be able to do that. You guys would control that and say, no, I'm sorry, you would have to pick another day or go through our reservation process that we have. So, you know, I don't like this.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
The way we're looking at this park, and as when it's completed and it's this beautiful little center, whatever you want to call it, I'm thinking it's like a little jewel. It's a tiny little whisper of a park.
Right.
And it's a jewel, and it will have a tendency to be abused by certain elements of society. And I want to make sure that we keep it as pristine as possible and as attractive as possible so that it's the town center and that it becomes the highlight so that Washington Borough is no longer that long passageway on 57. There's
I think we
some
all
mark.
Want the same thing. So
yes. And that was the intent. There's no other devious. And I think that it really needs control. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of competing entities saying, well, we're going to go to the park, we're going to have this, we're going to have that.
Right. So all the reservations will go through the day. Anyone that wants to use the park for, well, it's open to the public at all times, but if there's
but
for an event, you would go through the bid. I had assumed, and it's all new to me, this agreement, I had assumed when we got the park, then that was, this is like the park pavilion over, you know, by the pool. You know, the reservations have to go through the recreation department.
Right.
So I had assumed it kind of been the same thing when we got the park. So that's why I'm questioning. It's just, this is all news to
and
me.
And it is kind of confusing because we do have in our code the language that's existing now regarding any parks within the borough are under the control of the Recreation Commission. And so we would have to maybe alter that if we're going to agree to this.
I spoke to Sandy about things like this a little earlier today, and I said it seems like we have all the risk and no control, if
right.
you will. You know, not necessarily if an event damages something, but if somebody comes in, there's some kind of vandalism, you know, the borough is responsible for it.
Right.
Maybe our insurance covers it, maybe it doesn't. But we...
Right.
Yeah, I think what it is we'd like to have a little bit of control over it, you know, certainly to give the bid the opportunity to use it whenever they need it.
I agree with Scott.
But I guess we would like to have some of the control if we're going to own the park.
Right.
And you're looking at me funny, but I think you kind of understand what I'm saying there.
No, I totally understand.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to protect our interests and,
I think
and
that's what
going forward, you know. And I'm also looking at it from another perspective is that we, that little slip of a park, there's not going to be any major recreation other than people sitting and chatting and hopefully bringing a cup of coffee and maybe the Sunday paper and relaxing once the trees really grow up and hopefully we'll have a cafe next door. And I'm thinking that we're probably saving Christine or somebody all of the joys of dealing with scheduling the pocket bus. So
anyway, the maintenance,
it's not a big deal, but who's going to take care of the maintenance then? Would be you guys?
Maintenance would be the borough.
The borough? But you have the whole control of the whole thing. Why don't you just maintain it? So, okay, then, I'm sorry. So, is there going to be, like, a bench there? Or, I mean, what is the exact new latest plan? There was also discussed this removable stage sometimes you're going to be putting in. So, if you could just, yeah, fill us in on that, those plans. Because if you're going to be doing these kind of things, I think you should be responsible for the maintenance of that particular area, too. Just like the Recreation Commission should be responsible for any of the lands that they take care of, or, you know, so. Do you know what I mean? Okay.
Well, I mean, even if it was the borough, I think, like, it would need to be, like, in that number two, maintenance and operations, that, like, you're saying, if you have an event, you'd be responsible to clean the park. I think if anyone reserves it, they're responsible.
Right, because they're doing all the reservations.
Yeah.
If we did reservations, we should do the maintenance.
That's kind of not in there.
Right.
So that anyone, you know, what...
The part of the risk is for events that aren't...
So to get the reward, you need to do the...
You know, Johnny Appleseed comes by, or, you know, Junior George Washington with his axe and chops down one of the new trees, you know, at 3 a.m.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think it will happen, but, you know, just as an example.
Especially when hopefully somebody will have underwritten the cost and for $300 a tree.
Yeah.
And then we'll have some sort of a special marker, you know, thanking that particular individual or...
Yeah, for whatever it is. You know,
right, but that's a good example.
The vandalism.
I'm right with that now. Right.
But as far as with the maintenance, like, we don't have a lawnmower. We have, you know, our worker, we don't offer insurance. We don't have a DPW,
so then
it's not really...
Let us take care of it.
You are supposed to be doing the maintenance. We had suggested it.
Because we own it, we should just control the whole thing, including the schedule as well. And this way we'll maintain it, do everything that we have to do to keep it up. This way it'll be something else you guys don't have to worry about. And that's a suggestion.
Well, I have A, C, D, E, and F.
Under number one?
And number four. There's two number four.
Deal with 1A that you have there first.
Well, they exercise control. Let's see, members of the public. We have to make sure that it's available to the members of the public. So how are we going to know when you have a rented reserve? If we have to keep it open, what's going to be in place for that? You know what I mean? So if you guys have it reserved and it's open to the public and somebody comes and says, well, we have this reserved, you can't be here, who's going to enforce that? And how are we going to know if you have it reserved?
That's a good point.
Right.
Very good point. Okay.
Right.
Point one. You have the right to collect and keep any and all revenues. Okay, are you talking about donations to the park?
Fundraising. There's, as I said, from the open space agreement, it's a public park. You can't charge to use it like a rental hall.
Okay, so fundraising like what?
Well,
you've been invited to our first ever in 11 years fundraiser. I think everybody in this room was invited to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we will see you there Thursday, June 26th, at the patio, at the Mediterranean Bistro. $50 a head, but you have to come and... Yeah.
50? Did you say 50?
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, 50.
That's all? Okay, go ahead.
50 for a huge spread of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers and tastings of all these cocktails. You can come and vote for the hamburger sidecar.
Okay.
No pitching your drinks.
All right, so I don't understand what you mean by all revenues. Like if somebody wants to give you money for a tree, say, put a tree there in my honor.
Yeah.
And here's $300 to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what if you get the tree for $250?
They keep the 50.
You know what I mean? You're saying that because of the grant, you can't charge. But if somebody...
But we are trying to do fundraising. We're doing actual development work. The development work is we are going to be...
For the park?
For the park, yes.
And for anything else. So you could have a fundraiser over there in the park for the bid, for something totally different than the park.
For the park.
Only for the park.
Only for the park.
That should probably...
Yeah, so all the fundraising events are...
To benefit the park.
And from bids which occur at the park. See, at the very end it says, and from bid fundraising events which occur at the park.
At the park, for the park.
Right.
But they're occurring this time at Metairie Bistro, so we should maybe put that in.
Right, so like all of the money, all of the money at the cocktail, any money raised at the cocktail for the park is all going to the park.
It's all going for the park. We're trying to build up our reserves. I'm sure you're bored with hearing me say that, but that's what the intent is.
I think we all support the intent of that.
Yeah.
I'm confused. And that's easily done when it comes to the money.
Money.
Right, so you want to build up your reserve, your surplus in your budget, or you want to build up a reserve
for the park, the savings account.
The savings account, the reserve that we've had that we've been paying down on the parking lot.
But when the money goes into that reserve, you're only going to use that money now for the park? That is the point you're trying to make.
No.
It's going to your surplus.
No. The money will go into our reserve so that we have funds to operate for the next beautification project.
Okay.
Whether
okay.
it's fancy garbage cans, whether it's recycled, whatever in the town, benches, I don't know, so that we have operating funds. For the next project.
Okay, I'm still confused. They always walk me through this website.
That needs to be changed.
So, all right, you're having the fundraiser at the beach drive.
Correct.
To put money back in your account.
Correct.
Okay. What are you going to? Here it says you're going to use the park, right?
Right.
That's what it says.
To replenish funds that they used on the park, I think.
All right, so. No. The bid shall have the right to collect and keep any and all revenues
right.
collected from bid fundraising events for the park.
And
the bid fundraising events which occur at the park.
Which would be used to replenish monies expended.
I understand what you're saying.
Dave, can I just interject something?
Sure.
We've spent roughly $100,000.
Okay, I understand that.
On all of this.
I understand all of that.
We're trying to recoup that.
Mm-hmm.
So that...
I don't even know if that needs to be in there, Monica.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? If you have a fundraiser there at the pocket park, and you're going to use it to put it in your pocket, I don't care. If you have a fundraiser at the bistro, put the money in your pocket, I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't think that needs to be part of the agreement. Concur?
Yeah, I had a question just in the whereas, and I haven't been privy to this, so if I'm missing out on something that's already been communicated, please let me know. But just the whereas paragraph that said the bid has incurred expenses of approximately $150,000.
Which was corrected to $100,000.
That
sorry.
Is $100,000, okay.
We just received it.
Sorry.
Okay.
My
which expenses the parties acknowledge the bid is entitled to recoup through fees and revenues collected in connection with use of the park. Again, I'm not sure that even
needs to be there.
Because
right.
Is it the intent that if you had fundraisers and eventually you collected more than $100,000 that you wouldn't be entitled to keep those? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand perfectly. But this effort in all of our discussions with our attorney was to try to be as patently transparent as possible. And I think that sometimes we overdo it.
Okay.
Honestly.
I'm three through. Can I go on?
Sure.
Okay. So we agree that doesn't need to be there. All right. Let's go to D. I have a real problem with you naming the park because somebody gives you money for it. I personally have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I really do.
Right.
But Shiva, explain to him what you're thinking of the value of it. She's looking at like $1 million contribution.
No.
I'm thinking that.
$1 million contribution.
Right. That's
sure.
What she, yeah, sure.
Sure. Absolutely. It's perpetuity. That park will be called whatever it is in perpetuity.
All right, I'm going to be real sarcastic here for a minute, okay? Real sarcastic, so please don't take this. Al-Qaeda comes and gives you $1 million. We're going to call it the Al-Qaeda Park? No. I still have a problem with that. I still have a problem. I don't care how much money you get for that. I have a problem with somebody buying their name for that park.
Good.
Do you object to them buying certain pieces of it, such as, you know, they buy the stage or the sitting wall sponsored by?
I like the bricks.
I don't care. The donated by?
I can't. We're putting in massive.
I don't care. I'm only one vote.
If somebody, I'm just getting to the heart of what your objection is. If somebody says, I'll pay to build the little stage area, you're okay calling it, you know, Joe Blow's stage.
Ed Rush's stage.
I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with the whole park being made up for somebody who gives money for it.
And when you put it in those perspectives, I kind of tend to agree with that. There's always three sides to every story. Initially, I kind of agreed with Tony, but now you're...
All I can tell you is this, is that on a personal level, I am very, very bifurcated. We are putting together the finishing touches on our brochure that will be on the thermometer at the park. Hopefully this week there will be this big thermometer and there will be brochures in there. And there will be all of the donor opportunities for the park, which will be headed by $150,000 to name the park. Now, my personal qualms about this bifurcation is that I would love it to be the Washington Memorial Park, Washington Something Park, Washington Veterans Park, Washington. But at the same time, if we get a corporate entity or if we have a family that is well endowed in the town or in the area, and this is a wonderful opportunity for them to give us...
A bench would be good.
$150,000 over a course of 3 to 5 years, then it's going to be very difficult.
But what if we can't pronounce the name of the person?
I mean, I'm sorry.
It all has to be within common decency, ethics, and so on and so forth.
Monica, I just don't think that the naming rights should go along with the park. I mean, it should be up to the council to name anything in the borough, not up to the dish.
Especially if we're going to end up owning it.
Yeah, correct.
Well, then, what you're saying to me, and I understand, I totally understand, because I told you that in my heart, I would prefer to be Washington something.
I mean, there's other advertising you can sell, or there's things that you could sell, you know. I mean, I have no problem with benches or the trees, but not the park itself. I have a big problem with that.
It just means that we just have to fundraise a lot longer.
I understand. I'm sorry.
A lot longer.
I will stay firm with that. I don't believe that the name of the park should be sold.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Oh, I agree with you. Definitely.
Janine?
I agree, too.
Rob, you agree?
Of course I agree.
Ethel shaking her head, yes.
So that one comes out.
Look at MetLife. What stadium? You said the Giants stadium.
Yes. Governor Byrne Arena.
Anyway.
The items in the park, if you put someone sponsored by, if they want to change, or something that's within this, to name after someone in their family or something. I think that would go just as well as we're doing a whole community park named after someone. Because you're going to get that. Why did they name it after this person? Or why did they name it after that person? So it's just trying to summarize down to some little...
But let me just go through this then, just to make sure that everyone here understands.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking away the park naming, and I totally understand that. Then there's going to be a bandstand there that's approximately 15 by 20 in the back of the park. Now that's a $25,000 naming opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So would you object if it was called the Higgins Bandstand?
Definitely.
What, you got no ribbon there?
Definitely.
All right.
First of all, he wouldn't part with $25,000 to start with.
No, that's what the mayor was just asking him before. No, he doesn't care for those things.
It's only five over 5 years. Come on.
I don't care about it. It's
not this year's trick.
But any of those things, you know, you'd make more money if you don't put it in for eternity.
Let's put it this way.
So you give them a time limit. In other words, for the first year, we're going to name this stage for you. But then the next year...
You do it for those kind of monies.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. Then you cut down. You get many more small donations, which is easier to do. So,
I can see keeping the name of the stage for as long as the stage is there.
That's right.
You know, and if you need to tear it down and put another one, maybe you get another opportunity there.
Right.
You know, and the same with sitting walls.
Yeah, once you sell it, leave it.
You know, for its general lifespan... usable lifespan.
So the band will be playing at the Manrique Hamburger Memorial Stage.
Do you know something? I don't know. Memorial. This is only the person. I don't know the way he keeps memorializing.
Oh my goodness.
I don't care if somebody, you know, you name the bench, you name the grandstand,
right.
You name whatever.
The
park.
The name of the park itself.
Well, just wait until bath is the ceramic bird bath.
Okay.
So anything within
Sandy
the park, other than the naming of
the park
itself.
Yeah.
And we can prohibit any use of, donations. We will not accept donations from Al-Qaeda.
I think we can trust them to make the decisions there.
All right, E, section E, that kind of goes back into section A, doesn't it? It's almost repetitive. I'm just trying to condense this.
No, I think it needs to say that it's open to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the dawn.
Okay with that.
It goes back to the enforcement thing.
Well, it should be from dawn to dusk, I guess.
That Dave mentioned before,
the
enforcement
dawn
is going
to
be a problem.
Yeah.
That's
the enforcement thing. All right. Oh. All right, now, you want to know where I really have a problem with?
Yeah.
I really have a problem with
that.
Yeah. If we're going to take that park over,
if
we're going to take that park over, I'm going to put it to you real blunt. You will have no creative control over it.
Over. That's right.
For future or whatever. Can't put it more plainly.
Okay.
I agree with Dave 100% on it, too. He's 100%
right. Come back and make suggestions.
Yeah, you could be part of it.
Absolutely.
I don't think you would have, total control.
Right.
Okay, if so, that means that the borough will pay for any and all future improvements.
If we decide that there needs to be.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to put something up there and you come to us and say, hey, can we do this?
You'll say yes or no. Right?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully
we'll
be off and running
on
another project. Okay, just because I want to make sure, right now, we are taking out... crossed it out while I was... A? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Just the word the borough out of A, maybe.
We didn't really...
So A is fine?
No,
the only issue that I have with that, who's going to control the reservations? If you're going to control the reservations, how are we going to keep it open from dusk till dawn?
Okay, fine. So what we will do is we will cede all control for you, but at the same time, how do I make sure that the bid has all the available time that we will need, particularly in the first couple of years, because we will be doing a lot of fundraising?
Would you be open to
submit something to us, say, by March 1st, which would give you all the events that you want to have during the year.
And so in other words, give them the right of first refusal for event taking.
Well, I don't know about right of first refusal, but the first opportunity
of
all reservations.
Which is what I mean. Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
We can give you a modified calendar of what we anticipate, what events we would have, but
We can do that actually at the beginning of the calendar year.
Okay.
But then again, then there's opportunities that present itself. Maybe somebody is in town, maybe that we'll be able to tie in a musician.
I guess, so how are you planning on doing the whole reservation process? Like, you know, so that...
As simply as possible.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a matter of how is the borough know or the manager to know when it's...
There's got to be one central point of scheduling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
and so if you're doing it, it's just a matter of how is it communicated so that...
And by your giving us the dates doesn't mean that you are locked in only to those dates.
Right.
But after you've given those dates, they are locked in for the bid.
Mm-hmm.
And
you would have
if something
like
else
anyone
happens.
Else, right, to come before council and request
yeah.
other.
Yeah, you could get other dates.
I'd have to have council do the bid.
No, you could get other dates,
I mean,
assuming that nobody else has reserved it already. I mean, who's you know, if Rolling Thunder reserves for Memorial Day, we can't have the bid step on them. You know, that
right,
kind
Scott?
Of thing. That's what I'm thinking of.
Exactly. Scott, who's going to handle the other reservations? Who's going to be in charge of those?
Of the
the other reservation.
For anybody else?
Right.
Somebody here, you know, that would be a management decision, whether it's, you know, Debbie could have that calendar
right.
or Christina or...
That is up to our manager to decide, Scott.
Okay.
Is that feasible?
Right.
It's feasible to handle the reservations here, yes,
okay.
absolutely.
I don't think there's going to be a huge demand.
I'm sorry?
I don't think there's going to be a huge demand that
no,
this
is
going to take an hour a day.
I mean, who are we anticipating coming in?
Yeah,
are we allowing families to reserve this for our
I'm going to reserve it for Paul's 90th birthday.
Okay, well.
Let's say a group like
12
Kiwanis.
Yeah, that next week.
Feels like next week.
I guess so, yeah, because it says any organization,
can come in,
anyone
right.
can come in and
yeah.
reserve the park. That's
yeah,
the
so say the Girl Scouts want to do something, you know, or Kiwanis, or you know,
any
organization can come in.
Well, wait, look, if we're ceding control,
yeah, that'll be your decision.
Then you
right.
will have to develop policy.
Right.
Is it contemplated that if someone, whether it's a bid or another organization or entity, reserves the park, that it is as for that event closed to the general public?
Or just a portion of it?
I don't think there'd be a problem with having signs made up that says private party or private function.
Well, I just think that it needs to be reflected in the agreement.
It does. It needs definitely to be in there.
Because
I think
it says borough shall ensure that the park is open to the general public. Maybe a phrase needs to be added, except at times that it is reserved for a private function.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's good. Right. Yeah.
I'm not even sure I want it for a private function. It should be open to the general public for whatever the event is.
No private event.
No private event.
Well, that was my question. Like, if
yeah.
BID has
okay.
a fundraising event, is the pocket part going to be open to the general public during that event, or only to people that...
I think it was, the intention was, is that we're looking at it from a BID perspective, how would we use the park for an event? It would be utilizing and maybe bringing in a certain musician for the stage,
mm-hmm.
having entertainment. I don't think you can really rope or cordon off that park.
It's a public park.
It's a public park, and
yeah.
okay. you know, the
so
more
we
the
would,
merrier.
We
yeah,
I mean,
okay.
if it's huge, we could have
just
a pavilion like that. Yeah, sure.
But
for that, I don't know that we can really do it for a private event where, you know, maybe for tickets, but...
That would be something that would be a little difficult too, because of the perimeter is really open.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So
how is
then
A
it's
being
open.
Written? How is A being changed or written?
Well, I think we're just clarifying who has control over the
right.
reservation.
Because if it's us, then we just eliminate that whole section.
So
it can provide us a schedule at the beginning of the year, a
right.
schedule.
Which is
we basically
opposed to B versus
yeah.
A actually goes away, and B says we already states that we have the right to use
yeah.
the park.
Right.
We will provide
so
a schedule.
A is being deleted.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
No, I think B is, I think I've really have very concerned that that at no time shall the borough seek to impose any fees for the bid or any member.
No, we're keeping B, and we're just going to put in a clause that say we will provide a schedule of events annually.
Right, B's staying.
I think maybe the only change to that, you touched on it a little bit earlier, Monica, is a deposit for damages or cleanup or something like that.
Damages and cleanup, yeah.
An escrow, if you will. That might be the only thing, and that would be returnable upon, you know, suitable inspection report.
Right. And then C is out.
No, C was in, we just had, they were okay with us having.
No, we took it out. We took it out.
If we don't care, it's unnecessary.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Same with that whole whereas up on that page.
Got it, unnecessary, okay.
The fifth whereas on page two is gone.
Let's just go in order, right?
Let's just do the subsections first. D is no.
Right, D is out.
That means I'll be fundraising for this park for 5 years.
And F is out.
E's changing from dawn to dusk.
Dawn to dusk instead of dusk till dawn. You mean we're not going to have all-night parties out there, huh? And F was out.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm sorry, Janine, which whereas? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth one down, because it's kind of like C. You don't have to tell us.
Not necessary.
Rick fundraiser, recoup whatever money is, what?
I have more.
Okay, yes.
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, not to go back, I agree that whereas with the, whatever the number is, $100,000, does not need to be in here, but I'm wondering if you should keep subparagraph C just to have it memorialized that the bid has the right to keep their fundraising. Because it's a public park and it gives them the right to do so. I don't think it hurts to have that in there, and I think it may serve to clarify.
Well, yeah,
because they're just big fundraisers.
Okay, they're gonna have a fundraiser at the bistro on the 26th.
Right.
At 5 p.m.
At 6 to 9.
6 to 9.
You can get there at 5 though.
That money is gonna go, whatever they raise there at the bistro is gonna go into their account. If they have an event down there at the park, where they sell trees specifically for the park, everybody knows that money is theirs.
Well, the difference is the bistro is a private entity.
Right.
And the park is a public park. And that's why I think it's a good idea to keep in here that if they have a fundraising event for the park, at the park, that they get to keep that money.
But then why have that? That wouldn't be fair to say the fire department wanted to have a fundraiser
there. Yeah, that's not right.
That's not in here, then, that they get to keep their fundraisers, right? Like, if another organization reserves it.
That's a good point.
If another organization, I'm trying to play both sides here. This goes back to what I said, that we are trying to be ultra, ultra transparent.
Right.
That we want to make sure that at no time now or in the future, that if we're fundraising for the park, that we don't have the ability of keeping that money to build up our reserves. That's the sole intent of that clause.
Well, you have fundraising.
Today the borough council is the borough council, but in 3 or 4 years.
November it's going to change.
In November?
November it's going to change.
I rest my case. And that was the sole intent, is just to protect, because I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to be here forever, and well, the bid may not.
And I guess my comment in terms of other entities would be that it may be necessary, this is an agreement with the bid, it may be necessary to come up with some regulations as to other entities being permitted to conduct fundraising activities.
But in the bid's charter, it automatically gives them the right to fundraise. It's right in our code. So, no.
It does.
You don't need to put it in.
As Denise said, we wanted to be very transparent and make sure that we had.
But we know.
That we were upfront with you. This is what we're doing, and you know, and you agree with it and support it, and then.
I think it's going to get very complicated having other entities and stuff.
Listen, we see your budget anyway, so we know what you're very concerned.
Okay, then that's.
Speaking for other nonprofits, look at all the nonprofits that have come into town over the last 6-7 years. So I think the more the merrier, the more that the other nonprofits, the houses of worship, adopt the park, it's better for the whole community.
Nothing would be better to have that.
Whatever entity, we can just put that in the clause of the agreement that they get to keep the funds raised from it.
I mean, nothing would be better for all of us. How great would every single person here feel if every time they drove past that park, it was packed full with a group of people, whether they're fundraising or just enjoying themselves. That's what the park is for, to be used. Not to sit there. You know what I mean? An empty park is a sad park. A full park is what we want. That's what we want. That's the whole point of it. To be a focal point, a center, a drawing point, something that's going to attract people and be an asset for all of us.
So are we deleting C or keeping C?
We're deleting C, as I'm concerned.
One more. Number four. The second number four. On the agreement.
Okay.
I guess that would be 8.4. Anyway,
no, number four.
4A. Yeah, 4A.
Waiver of future claims?
No. Yeah, it got changed.
As is. All right, you want us to approve this. When are we going to take possession of this? This agreement made and entered into on this date would be when?
When we are finished with the construction of the park.
Okay.
You know, phase two is just started this week. We've had a lot of rain.
Okay, is there any way that we can have our engineer go through it before we accept it? I know it says as is, but at least if someone tells us, look, it's in pretty good shape and everything is done the way it's supposed to be done, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Judy just brought up a point of contamination on the site.
We've had everything.
That was LSRP certified that, correct?
Yes, we had a letter from the LSRP.
Grant application.
Yeah.
The site remediation was taken care of.
Okay, that's what I thought. Just wanted to be sure on that.
No. I mean, that wouldn't be a problem to have the engineer go through there.
No, I agree with that.
And have him, and now that you brought that up, good point, to review that documentation before we accept it.
Oh, I thought you were saying having the engineer go through the park.
And review the documentation.
But they should do that
no
sooner than later because we're just starting on phase two. So that they can see all the drainage that we put in, the special well, and so on and so forth, and the tower.
Well, Andrew.
Before we start laying down all those huge pavers.
Okay, because I'm confused. I thought you were saying that when we. Oh, you want him to see the footings and everything done ahead of time.
I want him to make sure everything is done right. And that the paperwork is in there.
Okay, because Andrew did sign off on the paperwork. But that, okay. Got it.
Okay.
I'm with you.
No, that's.
Okay.
So what else do you have, Dave?
I'm good. I'm good now.
Anybody else have anything? Okay.
So we'll see you, Dave. Thursday,
on the
26th,
you know what? Unfortunately, my son is graduating from Fire Academy on the 27th, and I will be out of town on the 26th. He's finally graduating the fire academy.
Well,
congratulations.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
Yes. My little fire box.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to change this document?
Yeah.
Do we change it?
Yeah, we'll change it in the form of the ordinance.
Our new municipal attorney.
Wait a second, you say, look, I'm done.
Right. Yeah, she was thinking tomorrow I'm handing this to Leslie.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go, Leslie. Thank you.
Thank you. In case I need to, or we need to check anything, who is your attorney on this?
Rob Beckelman of Greenbaum, Rowe, and Goldsmith in Woodbridge.
And we have it in what form, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that brings us to Turn the Town Teal.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I would make a motion to allow the town to be turned teal.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, at 9 o'clock, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony for guests. I hope your back's okay. I've been seeing
you. Oh, this chair is not as comfortable as yours, let me tell you.
And if you would state your name and address for the record.
Debbie Singh, 40 State Street.
What can we do for you?
I would like something done about 33 State Street. It's been 5 years. I believe it's been 5 years. Understanding is Bank of America owns it. For the first 4 years after Ted and Eleanor passed away, someone was coming to cut the grass. That's about all they did. Some fly-by-night operation came and cut the grass. No one has trimmed any bushes. There's now a mulberry tree that's growing out over this one sidewalk you can't walk by. Sidewalks on Wandling are all horrible anyway. It's a corner. Every once in a while, the direct neighbor, they're actually catty-cornered from us. My understanding is the couple had a reverse mortgage. They died. The bank owns it. Somebody's been taking care of it for the first 4 years. This past winter, nobody shoveled, and you know how much snow we got. There's now groundhogs that have had babies. I saw the biggest raccoon I've ever seen come out of the sewer. The grass is yay high. The blight that was affecting rhododendron bushes now has the front totally covered in brown leaves. I couldn't even see what number the house was because the bushes have grown over. It's been 5 years. And I'd like something done about it.
Our code enforcement officer is here, Mr. Besher.
We did call Mr. Besher.
Do you have any comments on that?
He
suggested we come here.
Well, that's right. It falls into the same discussion we had last week about the list of 59 abandoned properties in the borough of Washington.
I'm not here about the other 59. I'm here about 33.
There's a few, and there's 57 others. So we only have so many resources in the borough to take care of these properties.
Well, is there someone I can write a letter to? I mean, there's an ordinance. They have to mow the grass.
They've been summoned?
No. Majority of the properties are administered, taxes are administered by a tax service company. The tax service companies will not tell me who the mortgage holder is. They tell me that they will send a message to the mortgager about the violation on the property. And that's as far as I can get.
But in this case, we know that the mortgager is Bank of America, based on what you just said.
Based on what you just said.
So we need to reach out to Bank of America, because I know they have a property maintenance group that has come to maintain other properties in the borough.
Is that true of all the big banks, Christine?
It's true of all the big banks, yes. But what Rudy is saying, a lot of times we don't know who the mortgager is because they farm out their tax services to a company. Yeah. So we don't know if it's Bank of America, Wells Fargo. In this case, we happen to know. So we need to be in touch with the Bank of America.
Yeah.
Responsibility needs to be on the bank before it's on the borough, in my opinion.
So.
I think that sounds like an excellent opinion.
Is there a way we can get this information, to force this information on the services?
How do we know if Bank, I don't know if Bank of America has sold their interest to another bank or not. I don't know how to find out who the owner is, but somebody was taking care of it for 4 years.
Yeah.
Do we know that it was foreclosed on by Bank of America? Or
no, we don't.
It was a reverse mortgage.
There,
he died.
Is there rules of receivership?
It's not abandoned. They died.
One at a time.
Resource.
It's a reverse mortgage.
There's no one to take care of it. If nobody's paying the reverse mortgage, then Bank of America owns the property.
Right.
They need to come take care
right.
of it.
Unless they sold another mortgage.
But Bank of America has a property servicing agency.
Yes.
They would be able to tell us if they sold it to another mortgager.
Mm-hmm. And then you'd reach out to that.
And then we would reach out to them. I know it's time consuming, believe me, I've been there.
Yes. It's about an hour per
I know.
I would be happy to contact them if I knew how to contact them or how to go about it. I would be happy to write my own letter.
Do you have a contact at Bank of America? I may have one in the office, and if I don't, I can find out who you can contact.
In the
I still think it would need to be something more official from the town, not a neighbor, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Complaining.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
pretty good with letters.
We can both make sure. Like,
oh, okay,
you can back up her letter, yeah.
But in the interest of the public safety, because of the grass is so high, there's mosquitoes and all this, can we at least have our DPW go in and trim the grass now at least? I think that would be good.
It's more than just trimming the grass. These people need to get in there and take care of the bushes and the critters that are living there. And
temporary, you know, something that will be a start at least to help to maintain.
I don't know if you should be going on private property. There's possible liability issues.
We do it all the time when there's violation.
Yeah,
if they're in violation, we're allowed.
We grass that before, but that's when we had 10 and 20 of them as opposed to close to 60.
61 now.
If it's an unsafe situation, I would not ask the DPW department to go in there and tackle whatever animals might be living in there. I just can't.
Well, if there's animals, then we should contact the animal control officer.
Or Department of Health.
Oh, right. Yeah, groundhog had babies this year. Yeah,
so
there's definitely groundhogs living there.
Yeah. I don't know that animal control will take the groundhogs away. They usually
well,
not.
If I can find out who to write to or whatever, I think the bank should take care of it. They've been taking care of it for 4 years. I know that they're just writing it off until whatever the reverse mortgage is, whatever, but, and that's a shame, but I don't want to live like looking at that anymore. It's not right.
We'll find out. You can call me in the office or stop in if you're around during the day. Can I have your name again? I'm sorry.
Debbie Spinks. Spinks.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
Anyone else?
Make a motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we have ordinance 2014. Public hearing of final adoption, so I'll open up public hearing on ordinance 2014.
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing on ordinance 2014.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion to adopt on final passage.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Have a roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Conway?
Yes.
Cleva?
Yes.
McConnell?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Okay, reports.
Make a motion we receive and file.
Second.
Any discussion on any of the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And any abstentions? We have no new business. I'm sorry, Dave, do you have something you want
to? On what, police?
On police?
No, committee. Road committee met again.
Okay.
We went through the roads that we were going to have posted no parking versus what the list versus what was already in the ordinance. This is already in the ordinance. Oliver Street, both sides, East Church Street, the north side, no parking. West Church Street, as it is currently in there, Cleveland School Street, and South Wandering Avenue are all in the code book as we were going to put them, as we were going to sign them, right? The only issue that we have is East Church Street. According to the ordinance right now, East Church Street, there is no parking on the north side, which means this side where the Borough Hall is. There is a handicap parking spot that was put down there in 1985 that is still being used on the north side. The reason why we met is we want to have these signs that are already in the, I mean, these roads that are already in the ordinance, have them signed. And that is going to cause a heck of a problem out here in the morning with north, East Church Street, with the parking people dropping their kids off. And in the afternoon, people picking their kids up. But if you try to come through here at that time, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But the Streets Committee, and I'll get you the information, would like to have these roads that are already in the ordinance, that we talk about no parking, signed, because they're not. And we're supposed to, I'll get back to you on the north side of Church Street, the handicap parking.
It's actually in the code book wrong. I believe it's supposed to say no parking on the north side, and it says the south side in the code book now.
No, in the code book it says there's no parking on the north side of East Church Street. But on the north side of East Church Street, there is a handicap parking spot that was done by ordinance in 1985.
And it's supposed to be no parking.
And it's supposed to be no parking.
Right.
And that ordinance that said no parking on that side was actually in 82.
A while ago.
Okay.
I wonder what the law firm was in 82.
Yes.
Okay, that's been here 26 years, so I think we're all right there.
I wasn't responsible for that one.
Oh, gotcha.
Code book committee, we met, and we're again waiting for the update from the Streets. So as soon as we get that, we'll do a final determination as to the changes and send it right back to the council again. On meeting, so that's pretty much where we're at.
For Rick, doing your question that you asked about the baseball, they do softball. They don't do baseball anymore. I mean, that the ball is just hard enough to go over out on 31, is that they would have to, someone will really have to have power to take that ball out on 31.
Okay.
So that was your
So
there's no
baseball leagues
are no more.
Right,
there's no more baseball.
Yeah, but, okay. But I know some people that can hit that ball right out of softball. Okay, good.
Anything else from committees?
Nope.
Okay. New business, approval of the shared service agreement for the County of Warren and us for the public road works equipment.
Now, is this all the equipment that we kind of already have with our shared service?
This is just, if we ever need it, we can rent it from them.
Right, right.
And, you know, they need this agreement in order to go forward with that.
Probably a lot of equipment they have in there that we do not have.
Yeah. And
it's advantageous.
We would, of course, look at the regular leasing companies for that type of equipment and see if it's perhaps less expensive from them, too.
Right, okay.
This doesn't lock us in.
Have we been in this agreement before?
So,
yeah. No, it's the first time I've seen this in the Freeholder.
No, I have seen this, but it was a number of years ago.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to introduce this to that.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on it? Do we need a roll call on that?
And you don't have to use it if you don't want to.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I would do a roll call.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Higgins?
Sure. Yes. Okay.
What if we do 89, 90, and 91 together? They're all similar.
Make a motion. Second.
Is there any discussion on any of those?
Yeah.
Sir?
On 90?
Yes.
First paragraph. Is that sentence completed? The last sentence in the first paragraph, is that completed?
Oh, yes. And?
I'll have to get there. Hang on.
Yeah,
it always ends with an and then goes to the next whereas.
Wrong, Sonia?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes,
that's their name?
Okay.
Okay, well.
I think there should be a semicolon in between. That's what's confusing to Dave. That's just a typo.
You thought that was two first names?
Yeah, that's, so it looks like, in other words, before the "and," there should be a semicolon, actually. And then this way, it's clear, it's like that.
Okay.
Like, no big deal.
Roll call, please.
Gleva?
Yes.
Connery?
Abstain. Anoha.
Okay, do you need to abstain on all three?
I'm sorry, on 90.
Okay, and yes on the others?
Mm-hmm.
Higgins?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Okay, let's do 92 through 98, liquor license renewals.
Question?
No, let's get the motion first, then we'll have the question.
So move.
Second.
Okay.
Question?
Discussion?
Not familiar with these establishments.
Are
any of them any have a problem of any sort with the police departments or anything like
that? I get a police report from the detective prior to renewal, which is every year in July.
Okay.
And they're minor incidents.
Okay. That's why, you know.
Yeah.
Biggest offenders.
Okay.
All right, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, vouchers.
Any motion to pay the vouchers?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the bill list?
What exactly, Christine, is in numerous places, is from the Pohacon Valley groundwater contamination. What is it that they do in Lincoln? Like, why are we, this is like August still.
Right, because this is the Superfund site that runs from Park Avenue all the way down into Franklin Township. I think we have a discussion, you have spoken to them. They came before the planning board.
Yeah.
They are doing remediation work at the Park Avenue apartment. And I will not pay our municipal professionals out of our taxpayer money, so I make the EPA reimburse me, and then I pay our professionals.
No.
So that's why you
see. That's new. So that's the case. Because that's still on my open form. That whole, we never got that again.
Never got what?
There was it was brought before council a couple of months ago. We didn't do anything with it.
The wastewater treatment works approval, yes,
that
did.
That had to do because they weren't paying.
Yes, and we've worked out our issues with the EPA. I think they sent us a letter, and we'll be bringing that back to court council.
All right. So now we do have an escrow? Why don't they have
an
escrow?
Because the United States government does not feel they have to establish an escrow with the municipality, and they refuse to do so.
Okay, so this is...
Because we all know about their credit worthiness.
Yes. I wish there was some way of knowing that it was actually... Okay, all right, so...
That would be good.
Okay, so where do we see those revenues then? I missed that revenue.
We don't see those revenues. They're in and they're out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So how do we see that, though? That they're coming in? That this isn't tax... If you're everyone looking at the voucher list, thinks taxpayers are paying for this.
We would have a copy of the general ledger, which would show it in as a revenue, and then back out. So, if you were to take the planning board legal budget, you would see that the EPA reimbursed the planning board legal budget $200, and then we turned around and paid.
Okay.
Steve Gruenberg, $200, so it's a wash, it's in and out.
Okay.
I mean, if you want it broken down, I can. It's just municipal engineering,
okay. No, all right.
The planning board.
For transparency, though, it is kind of
a
good idea.
I agree. But
to have maybe it go into an escrow, this way you can show that it's coming out of an escrow.
EPA forever, and they will not do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was the only question I
have.
Okay. Anything else?
I see there was a leak somewhere.
Yes, many.
I'm just saying. That needs to be repaired. That needs to be completely redone.
I agree 100%.
Well, every year we go through the same thing.
Okay. Anything else on the vouchers?
Where?
What is this for on page 10 of 14? It says under non-budget, those bank pro capital, what are those redemptions for?
Those are your tax certificate redemptions that we just paid by resolution.
So that, they're in here, right?
They are.
That's it. Thank you.
All right, anything else? Roll call, please.
Gray.
Yes.
Saliva.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes.
Conrad.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Recap, did we give you anything to do this week, Chris?
I'm sure you did. I'm going to, I'll look into the sustainable Jersey credits. I'm interested in that myself. We'll make the changes to the bid pocket park agreement. I will contact our municipal engineer to go through the park, the plans, and check the letter, RE, the environmental concern. I'll follow up with Bank of America and work with our code enforcement officer on 33 State Street. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. Council remarks. Mr. Torres, let's start with you first.
I have no remarks tonight.
Okay. Ms. Conroy.
I have two.
Mrs. Tweedle.
I'll be quick.
Oh, I do have one. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh.
I want to say to Judy, we're all going to miss Judy, and congratulations again on your retirement.
Thank you for serving.
All right, I'll
get
Christine, could you put an email blast and change the website to cancel the CU meeting next week, because I won't be here.
What,
I know it's on the calendar of our monthly senior meeting.
Oh, what Thursday.
It's on the scrolling calendar on the website. And,
okay.
But it's an email. They're not going to get the email blast, but just do it anyway to be on the safe side. And I will not be at the next meeting. And I wanted to tell Sandy, but they're gone. Did you tell Sandy the Paramount update? Like, let them know that they're selling? Maybe they could know someone who might want to.
That's still up in the air.
Oh.
I've had, I'll piggyback off of that. I've had it with Paramount. Every time I call them up, it is an excuse. You know, my mother died, I was in the hospital, my dog threw up on the carpet. You know, there's always an excuse. And I'm just tired of it. The planning board is tired of it. And, you know, Phillipsburg is going after somebody this week. I saw the notice in the paper. I asked Christine to look into it. And they have an abandoned properties ordinance, which we used to have and repealed. And they're bringing people onto the carpet, and they are forcing to sell, fix, or whatever. But we do need that abandoned ordinance, abandoned property ordinance, in order to make these things kind of happen. In the meantime, the planning board has been discussing about the windows on the facade that they just put up,
mm-hmm.
and them not being correct. We've asked the planner to go out and take a look at them, and if they are off in any way, shape, or form, tell them they got to redo it.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to go after them to anything that anybody sees. Give them a summons. I want them to never forget Washington Borough. And the next step is that I'm going to hand everybody Mr. Dunn's cell phone number, and I'm going to ask you all to call him daily.
So really?
I'm sorry?
Really?
What's
the
yes.
number? We'll do it right now.
Well, I'm not going to give it out publicly, but, you know, that's the next step. So that, you know, we're going to be such a pain in their backside, but they're going to be relieved to get it. To the best of my knowledge, they have not signed a contract to sell these buildings.
So it's just blowing smoke until we see some
yes.
paper.
I also had a conversation with the former mayor, Mayor Van Duersen, about this, and she got the same runaround from them all the time. Always an excuse, always an excuse. Mr. Higgins.
So if I make this phone call and make him mad, am I indemnified as a councilman?
There's no law that says you can't make anybody mad. You should know that better than anybody.
Making somebody mad isn't necessary, but of course, but if you are within your duties as council member, you are indemnified.
Understand, too, that this past Sunday, no, it was the Sunday before, I called Mr. Dunn at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I had a conversation with him, and that's when I got, oh, my grandmother passed away. You know, I'm sorry your grandmother passed away, but there's been enough excuses. I want to see the backsides and the elbows, and we're not seeing them.
Okay.
So, did you have anything else, Janine?
That's all I had, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Higgins.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Christine gave me some information today. They're going to come tomorrow, the Morris County Co-op, to measure roads and give us an estimate, right?
Yes.
For the roads that we submitted, the top five. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, minus North Lincoln and South Prospect.
Right, because the work that's going to be on that.
Correct.
Also, she also said that the lady agreed to the terms of the... Yes. So that she's going to get it back to us?
She'll have it back to us by Friday.
And you're going to schedule the...
The land surveyor by tomorrow.
Okay.
And I am also working with Veolia on doing the contract. That meeting is tomorrow as well.
Progress. As long as it is, there's progress. I do have a question. I saw that email that you left on my desk from Chris. So the guy went out there, the stream remediation guy, what did he come up with?
Yeah, a report is forthcoming.
Okay.
That's what the email stating.
Okay. His first words on the email were, sorry.
Yes, I know.
I want that report by the next meeting.
He's related to Paramount, huh?
No, really. No, really. That report needs to be here by the next meeting. Because if you thought I was angry before, oh, if that's not here, I would be really, really angry.
6 months ago, you were complimenting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, his cell phone number.
Right. Shame on me for being fooled. You're absolutely right. But when he makes promises to us is one thing, but when he makes promises and the public is there, and as I explained to Christine, mm-hmm. she gets the phone calls. I get the phone calls from friends. Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yeah.
Counselor? Thank you for your service to the Borough of Washington. Yep. And may you enjoy the life after the Borough of Washington.
I appreciate the opportunity to work with all of you, and you're welcome.
And you're always welcome back here at any time, of course.
Listen, Dick don't know what he's been missing since. And you keep your mouth shut.
It's been a long time. 25. Paul.
Question. The abandoned building ordinance you were just referring to that had been repealed, would that include homes?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're doing it.
We're working on it.
Well, part of the reason that it was repealed because of manpower and costs
okay.
to go along with that.
And I thought it was because we really, nothing was ever done. It was never really enforced.
It wasn't enforced because of manpower and... So if we do it again...
You have to budget money to enforce it.
Yeah, exactly.
We never had the money.
And I think...
Oh. Another thing. I spoke to Christine briefly about this. The lawn situation with the 60-some homes.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we put the ad in the paper?
To...
Mow lawns. If you're licensed, we have insurance. Here's a list of lawns that need to be mowed. The borough will give us the prices to what you want to... charge the mow it once every 3 weeks or once a month. If it's an agreeable price, you go ahead and do it, and we'll pay you and put the tax lien on the property.
Yeah, there will be the tax lien, but
right.
When do we get reimbursed?
That's right.
Well,
yeah, that's the big thing.
But it may alleviate some of the problems like this lady has right
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
you know,
so what do you think?
Screw up our cash flow because we have to lend all that money.
I mean, well, I'm out.
<Yeah.
laughs>
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any problem with local public contract law because we'd have to get some quotes from a landscaper. As long as it's under the bid threshold.
Yeah, well, they're all going to be under the bid threshold.
But, I mean, to Rob's point, cash flow.
Right.
Because we have to pay these contractors first, and then...
That's the same thing, asking now, I don't know.
Okay.
If, in November, I could say, yeah, we had the money to do it, but you can't, I can't answer that question now.
Can't just pay your expenses, I know. All right, anyway, so I guess you can make the call on that when you decide if you need it, you know, that's an option you have.
So if that's not an option, what do we do? With these 60-some houses that are out here that aren't being maintained?
Well, let me ask you, how many do we know of that are banks? Or are they all, can you identify for me banks and tax servicing agencies? Maybe we can take care of half of them.
Majority are gonna come out as tax services.
Okay, but I'm asking, I wanna know who's who, so let's see how many I can get off the plate.
Okay, there's tax service and who it is, okay, rarely is marked as a bank. Now, I did find some individuals working on a abandoned property. I got their name of their company, I called them up. Now, this is last Thursday. I told them what the violations at the property are. They said they have to send somebody out to take pictures and then contact the banks and get approval to do the work.
Right, that's correct, that's the process, I know.
And it would be at least 2 to 3 weeks, okay, before they could get back to me.
Correct me if I'm wrong here a second. When you buy a home, it's recorded at the county seat, correct?
Yeah.
You're the registered owner of that property, and you have a lien holder. Why don't we go to the county to see who the property owners are?
The lien holder was the original purchaser. Did they sell that mortgage to some...
I'm not concerned about the lien holder, I'm concerned about who the house, the county seat says the house is the owner.
Yeah, but you know what, though, if Bank of America has one that Wells Fargo had, they're gonna tell you that Wells Fargo bought that.
Well, that's true, that's why I want to start somewhere, and I can start on that list if I have some banks that I can go after.
And you know, one thing that might be good of doing that is a lot of these tax services might be doing 30 of those 45 homes. It might be the same tax service. So you might get all your answers at one call.
Tax servicing usually won't tell you who the more
right, but if you get lucky, I said, right, exactly.
Even if you threaten them?
Now, tax service companies will not tell you who the mortgager is. I've already tried this. The best they can do, or they will tell me, is they will send an email to the mortgager, and the mortgager will get back to me.
Which I never do.
Right. I've never got a call back.
But on our street, a bank representative was there, and I was kind of talking to him about the grass situation. He said, we pay somebody about 3 times a week. I mean, 3 times, once every 3 weeks. And I was like, really? Does anybody from the bank come see what they do?
Hmm.
He cut the grass the last time.
You know, on my street, they take pictures before they take the grass. This guy who works for the bank, I've noticed him take the pictures, and then he goes and mows it right after that. So he can show, I guess, to prove that he did it, that's what he does. So I don't know if they're all obligated to do that. It depends what bank, but I just noticed that.
The before and after pictures can be on for months on end. But, okay. Anything else, Paul?
No, sir.
Okay. We may have a solution for AME Church. We've been working with, Chris and I met with the engineer, representatives of the church, and JCP&L. We may use millings to pave the JCP&L property. They would put down some stone first just to make it smoother, and then at the end of North Lincoln there have a little lip like you would have on a driveway that's going downhill, so that it will channel the water into the woods that are there. That should eliminate quite a bit of the runoff that the AME Church is getting. You know, there's nothing finalized on that. It's just kind of an agreement we all looked at before it's workable.
That's good.
So we'll see what happens with that. Didn't we need an executive session for something?
The only thing was regarding the shared service, but with Franklin Township, do we need to go into executive? I mean, I think we discussed it.
I left it open just in case something came up.
What it is I got a call from the Franklin Township Mayor. They are no longer interested in being part of that shared service.
Well, to them.
They also said that they have the paver, and they put $2,000 worth of work into it, and that needs to be considered when everything is dissolved. From there, that's where I think we needed to go into executive session.
Yeah, I have a couple things.
We don't need to go into executive session.
Yeah, we could discuss that in public.
Could be negotiation. That's the only thing. Executive.
Listen, all you got to say, all I got to say is show me the receipts.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah, and they could.
And then we'll go into executive session.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree. Show the receipts.
Okay.
Show me the receipts.
There's your, there's something else for your recap. Okay, we have anything else for this evening?
Somebody knows what to do.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?